Welcome to Brands and Campaigns, the stories and people behind clever marketing moves, powered by EKR. I'm your host, Camden Bernatz, Creative Director and Head of Brand Strategy at EKR. I'm excited about this unique type of campaign. It's the first one we've had on the show that really played into the, or not played into, but utilized the artificial intelligence, the AI that we've heard so much about. It is a campaign that was done through Myrtle Beach, Visit Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, a coastal community on the coast of South Carolina, a great destination for tourists and locals love it as well. And Myrtle Beach, if you haven't already followed them at all, they've done a great job of really kind of pioneering or leading the charge, so to speak, when it comes to owned media as a destination. And not just putting ads out for the sake of getting in front of people and asking them to come visit, but actually creating branded entertainment. And this isn't quite the same thing as branded entertainment, but it is another way that I think this destination has kind of been a early adopter, I guess, so to speak, of new opportunities, new technology, and in this case, AI. The campaign, it's a little hard to explain, so I want to have our guest on to explain a little bit better than I will. But just to kind of set up what happened here is Visit Myrtle Beach with their agency MMGY Global basically used artificial intelligence to come up with a rebrand for their destination. And when I say rebrand, it's kind of in a humorous pretend way. They didn't actually fully rebrand their destination, but just to see if we used artificial intelligence to say, this is who we are and we want to be a new destination, we want to rebrand, what would you give us? And it spit out some results. And for those who have tested and poked around with artificial intelligence, it can do some amazing things. There's also some weaknesses. And so before I introduce our guest, I want to read this little summary that Ad Age wrote up about it. There's a little paragraph that I think captures it well. And they said, this campaign used generative AI to design a new logo, imagine a Times Square billboard, and come up with action shots of families enjoying the beach. The logo images and ad copy were exactly what one would expect from AI. That is to say, uncanny and wacky. The name that the AI decided to rebrand Visit Myrtle Beach as was Mitary Best, MITARRY. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. I don't know how AI intended the pronunciation to be, but instead of Myrtle Beach, it is now Mitary Best. And to talk about the Mitary Best campaign, we have Stuart Butler on with us today, the CMO of the Visit Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce. And so Stuart, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Great setup. And just for the record, AI did not tell us how to pronounce it. We've all been pronouncing it Mitary Best.
Oh, Mitary. So okay. Well, thank you.
That's the official canon. It's Mitary Best. Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's the first correction. I needed that. So Mitary Best. Worries. And so I guess the first question is, how did this idea start? Where did this idea come from to go to AI to see what they could do for your brand?
Well, it was a culmination of a lot of factors. You know, I've been in the DMO world, working with MMGY Global for a couple of years now, and I've been really pushing them and asking them to go be above and beyond in terms of what subverting expectations. I'm a big fan of doing paid media that also gains earned media. And so we've been challenging them. They've been coming up some really creative and wacky ideas. This one in particular was a brainchild of their team. And it really started with, hey, we have a media buy with Reddit. We wanted to look at Reddit as a platform. Very few brands have done that successfully. We wanted to experiment. We knew what the audience was. You know, I'm a consumer of the platform, so I know how toxic that community can be and how distrusting they are of advertisers. And we were also coming off the back of the controversy with Reddit, right? Which was, they were now going to start, or they were start charging for the API, and it was knocking off a lot of platforms that were relying on Reddit. And so there was sort of a mutiny within the ranks of Reddit users, where anyone that did anything remotely branded was just getting hounded, not safe for work content was getting put on. And so in reality, we had ended up waiting a little bit to launch this campaign because we were a little concerned about that. But the genesis was, we wanted to do something, a mega thread on Reddit. We knew we couldn't make it advertising. We knew it had to be very on brand for Reddit and on brand for us. And Pizza Hut had done a campaign a few months ago where they were just very ironic with it. It was very tongue in cheek, and it was one of these like to do things, how to make the perfect pizza. But they did it in a way that was very much the payoff at the end was you just need to call Pizza Hut or order on the Pizza Hut app to get the perfect pizza. Mm-hmm. But they'd gone through made people jump through the hoops. It was like a, you know, one of these sort of shticks that you see a lot on social media, like just a long drawn out thing for a little payoff. And they'd done a pretty good job. So we wanted to sort of emulate that. And I'm not sure specifically who came up with the original idea, but I know a couple of folks, Brandon and Meredith, in the creative team, within our creative team at MMGY, pitched us this idea of an AI-generated campaign. So they came up with this. And the first thing they did was a logo. And here's the logo right here for those of you that are watching.
Is that a sticker? Nice.
It's a sticker. So I'll get to the sticker and the merch in a little bit, but they came out with this logo, and it's crazy. It's got like a weird alien creature thing. It's got a sky wheel, which is very on brand for Melbourne Beach. But then, as we know, generative AI right now, and they were using Midjourney to do it, just AI doesn't do letters well yet. It's getting better, but it just changed the letters to say Matari Best instead of Melbourne Beach. And so that was one. And then they'd done some other things. There was another image that was people eating seafood, and they had this weird crustacean creature. And then one of the people had a third hand coming out of their body. So with, like that uncanny stuff that was happening. There was another one that was a sand castle that was full of people and legs and limbs coming out of it. It was very surreal. But then some that were really cool and interesting and you kind of want to be real. They were really well known for our Carolina Country Music Festival. And they said, what would that look like on the water? And so they had this sort of stage floating on the ocean with a bunch of inflatables, with the people laying in inflatables all around it. So there was some cool, interesting thing, but we wanted it to really convey the real message. We wanted it to say, okay, if you go to Melbourne Beach, you can expect great dining experiences, great attractions, great golf, great, all these things that we're known for. So there was an element of truth in all of these sort of images. Yeah. But then the real power came out when we started collaborating. My creative team internally with the MMGY creative team sort of just polished it a little bit. So beyond just the initial Matari Best logo, we said, well, let's Photoshop these a little bit to be consistent. So, for example, if we wanted it to write a billboard, it wouldn't say Matari Best. So we Photoshopped it to say Matari Best instead of the gobbledygook that it came out. So then we went to GPT and started creating copy for it. And we wanted it to come from a very robotic sounding voice. So we prompted it to sound like people's fears are with AI. It started talking about the AI overlords and really exaggerating the campaign to the point where it was obvious that it was parody, obvious it was ridiculous. But we just kept leaning in. And then we said, well, instead of just having a mega thread, let's build a landing page. So the calls to action from the mega thread led to a page within our website where we actually switched out the logo from Visit Melbourne Beach to Matari Best. We put a bunch of more information about the destination, including how to get a visitor guide, but obviously we didn't call it a visitor guide. We call it something very computery. And then once we rolled it out, we just sort of held our breath. And initially, everyone was saying, let's roll it out without comments turned on. And I'm a little bit of a gambler. And so I'm like, you know what? We can always turn them back off, but let's just see how people react. And I don't know of any other brand that's left comments on a Reddit mega thread, but we took the risk and boy, did it pay off. People really, really loved it. And we had, I think we're nearing 40 million impressions. We've got a couple of thousand comments at this point. Most of them are very much golf claps or people saying, this is the best advertising I've ever seen. You know, a lot of real enthusiasm from the community. And what we saw was when people started to criticize it as being advertising on Reddit, the community came to our defense and said, no, this is actually entertaining. I want this kind of content. This made me laugh. And then there was a few people that just didn't get the joke. And we're like, what? Why is Myrtle Beach rebranding? So it was very entertaining. And we continued the joke with our responses. Again, the team from MMGY did a phenomenal job responding to every comment and being very tongue in cheek. And we actually used GPT again to create some of those responses as if we were the AI. So it was really just a culmination of this fear that's in the zeitgeist about AI, which is totally unfounded. And the fact that everyone's talking about it, and we wanted to have a little bit of fun. And one of the things that came out of it is we started seeing people asking for merch. They really loved it. And so we had our team internally spin up a quick online store and started selling merch. And we sold several products, including this really garbage hat where the logo just looks terrible. But we put ridiculous products on there that we said, what would be the least likely that people would buy? We had a wraparound skater skirt with the logo on it. We had a baby onesie. We had an apron, a Christmas ornament, and people were buying this merch. It was bizarre. So if you see someone walking around with a
you're in the know,
with a Mattari Best merch on, you know where they got it from. Although we had some bootleggers. We had there was a store on Etsy that started selling Mattari. They grabbed our logo that we'd created and they started selling merch on Etsy. So I guess mimicry is the best form of flattery, but we certainly punched a hole in the zeitgeist. And then, as you mentioned, we got written up in Ad Age and a bunch of other magazines. And so, yeah, it was a real fun one. And we didn't quite know what to expect, but it certainly surpassed those expectations.
Well, that uniqueness is definitely why I wanted to have an episode about this, because I think you highlighted the brilliance of this campaign. I think you highlighted when you said how people on Reddit came to the defense of it and say, no, this is actually what I want to see. That is what you as a destination, I think, are doing really well. And this campaign is just one execution of that, in which it's branded entertainment. Like, yes, in some form it is advertisement, because it does put your name in front of people. And obviously you want to have your brand perceived in a way that people want to come visit Myrtle Beach, of course. But people aren't opposed to getting good things given to them. They just don't want it when it's shamelessly like demanding their attention, or it's not providing value. It's just trying to take value. And this hits a bunch of different areas, I guess, of Reddit, where it's got the humor aspect, kind of funny. Those who are about travel and destinations, it's in that space. And then the tech and AI, whether you're for or afraid of it, whatever that might be, the different debates online. There's different groups that you attached this, or you reach with this campaign in such a way that, yeah, it's like it's not seen as advertising, even though it kind of serves that purpose. And again, for everyone who's listening, we always recommend you to go check this out, because this is a podcast. Unless you're seeing some of these video clips later, most of you are not seeing this right now, what we're talking about. And so go check out the visuals, because like Stuart said, the logo is, I mean, it's got lots of colors and stuff. I'm not quite sure what most of it means. It's just kind of a lot of, like you said, some interesting shapes and imagery. There's that sandcastle. It was probably 40 people inside this sandcastle. It's like it looks like people could live in there. And they're just, some of them are extra limbs, missing limbs. There's that one that they're eating seafood. And I think AI based it off of a crab, because it looks crab like, but
it looks sort of like a crab lobster fusion going on.
It looks alien. But
there's certainly an additional hand. There's two people and five hands eating it. So it's like Thing from the Addams Family jumped out into the picture.
It just looks nice enough. They're like, oh, it's a nice picture. And then you look a little longer, and the longer you look, it gets weirder. And
All of them are like that, right? There's something like, there's the one in Times Square where you look and there's a lady that's actually got no top on the back of her is completely bare. And you're like, oh, that's not really on brand, but we didn't even notice it. It was the consumer that started pointing it out. But going back to your point, I think what we're trying to do to disrupt is we understand that consumers are rejecting advertising. Just look at the adoption of pop-up blockers and the battle that's going on now with YouTube trying to prevent people from using pop-up blockers. It's not going to end well for YouTube. They're going to end up standing in front of Congress here pretty soon with people saying, well, why are you preventing people's individual choice? But I think what we're going to see is an increase in people not wanting to receive ads, and the ads they do, they're going to have to do better than just say, buy my product, right? Mm-hmm. Because people are tuning them out. So what we're trying to do is create advertising that's also entertainment. We're trying to drive awareness. We know that psychology tells us that if you tell someone to do something, they're less likely to do it than if they decide they're going to do it themselves. So by us doing a campaign like this, where we're obsessed with the customer, whoever that is, whatever platform, and we really try to understand who that is and what they want, and then we craft something and deliver it to them that they're going to perceive as valuable, then we're building a relationship with them. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not in the transaction game. We're in a relationship building game. And so we know, you know, Adam's book, Touchpoints, right? Which talks about this. Every touch point you have, every interaction you have with a consumer is either going to increase your likelihood of doing business with them or decrease it at some point. And so which direction is this ad going? I can promise you, if you're just selling buy my wares, you're eroding that relationship. But if you're providing value, which we did through entertainment in this case, then people are a lot more likely to want to buy your products or come visit your destination. Yeah,
exactly. And talking about a touch point, this campaign as a touch point of the destination, the brand, while it's not necessarily the attractions or things to do in Myrtle Beach, they're kind of baked in, but they're not necessarily on the forefront or the main thing on display. The fact that you did this creative tech forward type of thing with a little bit of humor makes your destination seem, for lack of a better word, cool. That cool was overused, yeah, and doesn't really mean anything, but you're now a cooler destination than people that don't do this. And so it's, even though it has nothing to do with like the exact restaurant or hotel or the beach, whatever, it's like, oh yeah, that place did this thing. I'm kind of more intrigued by them now than I was.
Yeah. And we were very much, you know, looking at the Trojan horse strategy. You know, we wanted to get as much real information to the consumer as possible while they were reading through this post and then the subsequent landing page, because, you know, a lot of people that we were meeting there on Reddit were not familiar with the brand at all. This was a sort of what I would consider a low sort of quality consumer compared to what we're doing on, say, Google or Facebook. And I don't mean low quality as that they wouldn't go on to book. I mean, as in, we don't know a lot about them, and they probably don't line up perfectly with our traditional demographics. But we're always looking to get incremental new business. We're always looking for new honeypots of consumer, right? So this wasn't a particularly expensive campaign. It was more of an experiment, and we wanted to see. We know sort of age and demographics of the Reddit consumer. We don't know a lot more about their behavior, and so we wanted to see what we could do. And so, knowing they hadn't really necessarily been introduced to our brand before, this was maybe a first conversation we've had with them. We wanted to make sure we're getting a lot of that top level information across to them in a unique way. And so anyone that reads through it is going to learn, okay, Myrtle Beach has 2,000 restaurants. It has 60 miles of open beaches. It has dozens, if not hundreds, of attractions. It's got great live music. Oh, by the way, it's also sensory friendly. People with autism love coming to Myrtle Beach. It's certified sensory friendly. So we're putting all these sort of talking points within the content that now people know about Myrtle Beach that they perhaps didn't. And they're just, they're consuming it almost through osmosis as they're reading this entertaining content. So it was really successful. We did get some critics, you know, people saying, well, how are you going to measure success and things like that? And I think those are valid questions. Some of them were a little too snarky the way they asked the question, but it's a fair question. And so, you know, we don't know yet. You know, this was a recent campaign. We don't know how many people are going to actually show up in market. We're going to be able to measure that. But we do know we captured a lot of data. We captured a lot of email addresses, and we're going to be able to follow those people throughout and see if they end up coming into market. So again, we didn't spend a ton of money, but this was an experiment, and I think it was a success from an awareness perspective. And whenever you get written up in Ad Age twice in the same week for a campaign, I feel like you're onto something pretty solid.
Definitely, definitely. Do you happen to know any of the details of like what the prompts that were put in? Like, I don't think it was you specifically writing those, right? But do you know what was put into these like Midjourney, ChatGPT? How did that, what was fed to it in order to get these kind of results?
Well, I think with any prompt, you want to be as explicit as possible. You know, I think one of the criticisms of AI is you know, it's not consistent, and I don't know that that's true, because I think it's consistent based on the quality of the prompt. You know, to me, you want to put in a few different things. You want to talk about what subject matter it's an expert on. So what's it basing its response on? You want to put in who the audience is, like who are you aiming this response at? You want to put in the voice that it's coming out at. So who are you speaking as? In this case, we would say, you know, certainly for the GPT stuff where it was the text, we wanted it to be an AI talking. We didn't want it to sound too human. So we're asking it to do that. And obviously there's back and forth refinements to everything you do. I'll be honest, the Midjourney stuff was pretty much nailed it first time. I mean, I have seen the prompts and they were pretty elaborate, but nothing too crazy. And Midjourney did a really good job of you know, making them a little weird in a way that a human wouldn't be able to do. So yeah, I think with anything, any new technology, the more you play with it, the better, more comfortable you're going to get with it. And I think for those of you that have dabbled in AI and it's not for you yet, I would encourage you to keep using it. I personally have found it makes me 10, 20% more efficient in my day to day. It's the second tab I have open after my email, and I use both GPT. I use Bard from Google. I use Midjourney. I use DALL-E. I use multiple tools depending on the situation.
Very plugged in.
But I find that I'm getting better at using the tool the more I use it. And I'm, instead of saying, I started out sort of thinking of it as an afterthought. Like I had a task to perform. Okay, can AI help me with this? Now I'm like, I just assume AI can help me with everything. And the question is more, how can AI help me with this versus can it help me with this?
And how can I use it? Right?
Unless, you know, if I'm just responding quickly to an email, I don't use it. But if I'm writing something that needs to be persuasive, if I'm analyzing data, if I'm trying to be creative, any of that stuff, AI is making me a smarter, more effective CMO.
Awesome. So looking beyond you as the individual to the organization as a whole, even considering its obvious imperfections that we can see in this Matari Best campaign, there's the destination then have clear plans to keep using AI, not just in like these kind of humorous ways, but does AI have a consistent role in your marketing plans going forward?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Every one of my team members, I encourage to use it regularly. I've heard a few companies and agencies and other folks that are putting aside time to discuss what they're doing. And we haven't implemented that, but I'm really thinking about doing that with that. We have a weekly team meeting and I'm thinking about having a sort of show and tell. What did you use AI for this week? And because I think we're all going to learn. I think it's important to get everyone involved, but to think through the implications and ramifications, right? There are some potholes. There are some risks involved. I think things like intellectual property, we've seen people get caught out with the hallucinations that certainly happen when you're trying to create facts from AI. Everyone's heard the story about the attorney that got disbarred. I don't even know if it's true at this point, but everyone sort of tells it as a cautionary tale because it fabricated some cases that weren't real. So I think you've got to know its limitations, but just like any technology, it's going to get better. This is the worst AI is ever going to be for us, right? And so it's going to get better iteratively and maybe exponentially every day that we use it. And so I think a good friend of mine, Tim Peter with Tim Peter and Associates, always says, AI is not going to steal your job, but smart people who use AI will steal your job. And so we've got to use this technology because if we're not, our competition is, and they're just going to have a massive advantage over us. I mean, it makes you smarter, faster, more creative. It's just an accelerator across the board at everything you do. And so you have to encourage your entire staff to use it. There's not a position in your organization, if you're working on computers, where AI cannot improve what you're doing. There's not, from contract writing to proposal writing to ideation, you know, everything in between. It's just going to make you just a little bit better. And it's worth the time to invest now to learn that because it's just going to improve day in, day out. But I do say, again, go cautiously, especially if you're creating product for someone else. Like if you're an agency creating a product for a client, I think disclosing how you're using AI is really important. Like as a customer of agencies, I want to know if AI is being used and how it's being used. I want to make sure I'm protected from an IP perspective. things like that. But you're crazy if you're not embracing it at this point. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And even if you have hesitancies, I feel like the best way to basically, you can know what it is. And so like by experimenting and getting in there, either going to love it and we'll use it all the time. Even if, although I agree with you that people shouldn't be adverse to using it, but even if you're like, oh, I still don't want to use it that much, at least know what it is and what it's not. So you're not misrepresenting it, or you're not missing out on aspects that you may want to use it for and things like that. So
yeah, to me, it's akin to someone saying they don't want to use AI if they're in a digital world or if they're working digitally. For them to say they don't want to use AI today is like the people back in the day that said they didn't want to use a computer.
Yep.
It's as revolutionary, it's as efficiency building, it's as game changing as that was. And there were holdouts. Mm-hmm. But what happened to those holdouts? Either they converted or they were obsolete and they were out of a job. So yep. AI is that transformative. It's getting baked into everything we do, whether we like it or not, no matter how hard the Biden administration tries to curtail that. The recent legislation that or executive order that came out is just asinine. And that, regardless of your political affiliation, I think most people agree that this country, America, was built on innovation. And what the government is trying to do, whether you're left or right or somewhere in between, is such an overstretch that is going to penalize America and it's going to allow a lot of other countries to catch up with the innovation that's happened in the U.S. So I think become knowledgeable, become vocal about the importance of it, become a user of it. But if you're not, you're going to be those guys that didn't learn to use a computer or a smartphone. It's yeah, that simple.
Those are good examples. Bring politics into it. We need some engagement, some hot takes on this podcast to get some.
Yeah, can we talk about religion next? Is that?
Yeah. So we mentioned the landing page. I don't think we actually mentioned the URL. For those who wanted to check that out, mataribest.com. And that is, like you said, it lays out, it's like a travel guide. It's like a website that's introducing the website, but clearly written by an AI and owning that fact. Yeah. It's a little bit, yeah, I guess you just got to check it out to see what it's like.
It's hard to describe, right? But yeah. I would encourage people to go to Reddit too. If you just search for Matari Best in Reddit, that's where the mega thread lives. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the gateway into it. The website does live on its own and is great to enjoy, but I think that it's best enjoyed as a couple, right? Where you see the mega thread and then the landing page, and then go check out the store. And if you want to buy some merch, then
yeah, go get it.
Please do. It's still up for a little while longer. We're going to take it down eventually, but
how long are you going to keep the landing page, mataribest.com? Do you have a run time for that, or is it just kind of play it by ear?
Well, the campaign just ended last month. So, we'll monitor it and see if the traffic maintains. You know, you started seeing Matari Best show up in Google Suggest on search. So it's like it certainly was getting some traction there. If it's getting traffic, we'll probably keep it up for a while. You know, we'll probably take down the online store before too long. The sales have slowed down certainly there, but yeah, it's fun. We learned a lot, and it's just the first of many crazy things we're going to be doing.
Awesome. Well, along that note, as far as things you're going to be doing, is there anything we should be looking out for? Anything you'd like to promote, or what's next for Myrtle Beach that we should be looking for?
Well, for the destination itself, we got our first ever PGA Tour
awesome
event coming next year, which we're super excited about. We're the golf capital of the world. We have 90 plus golf courses. We've got 50 plus mini golf courses, a Top Golf, and soon to be a Pop Stroke. So if you're into any form of golf in all of its flavors, we're the place to come. So we've got that event in May of next year, and it's unbelievable. We've never, as the golf capital of the world, we've never had a PGA Tour event, main event before. We've had the senior tour in the past. So we're excited about that. All hands on deck gearing up for that. But from an advertising, promotion, marketing perspective, we're continuing to push the envelope. We're continuing to explore projects. We've got a couple of TV projects. We already launched one last year called Chef Swap at the Beach, which was on the Cooking Channel. Season 2 is coming to the Cooking Channel in the spring. And then we've got a new project that is in post-production right now called Traveling the Spectrum, which is a project that I'm really passionate about. We're trying to tackle a systemic problem, which is 87% of families who have kids on the autism spectrum don't travel, you know, for a variety of reasons. There's stigma, there's friction, stress. Just they don't know if their child can handle the stimulation. And so we've done a lot of work over the last decade with the help of folks like Champion Autism Network to understand the challenges and create solutions for that the neurodiverse communities. And so we want to do more than just do it for ourselves. We want to actually impact the world. And we talk a lot about making a little dent in the universe, to steal a quote from Steve Jobs. And so we're creating this TV show. We've already shot it. We brought three families to the Melbourne Beach area, all of which have a different situation within their family, all of which have a neurodiverse person, someone on the autism spectrum. And we just documented their experience, and we're showing people that you can travel if you have autism or a family member with autism. It's not easy, but travel never is easy for anyone. And so we're just trying to make it a little bit easier for this community. And we're talking to some big streaming publishers right now about where it's going to live. But
awesome.
I'm super excited. That's one of my favorite projects I've ever worked on in my 20 plus year career. And then we're doing just a lot of our own content. We've worked with the Relic Agency on a few podcasts. We have just the rebranded I Speak Mama. It's a mom podcast. And then we have another one, if you're really into sort of deep conversations about life and introspection, is a show called Life's a Beach and Then You Die, which is exactly what it sounds like. It talks about people's trials, tribulations, triumphs. And so those are both available wherever you listen to podcasts. But we're trying to create content that earns an audience instead of just trying to sell products to people through advertising. We're trying to create audience, and from audience we can create community, and from community we can shape behavior. And so we're playing the long game. We're not taking shortcuts. But yeah, we have a lot going on as always. But it's a lot of fun. We enjoy what we do.
Definitely. Well, I'm good luck with all that stuff. And I'm very impressed with you and your team and destination of, like I said at the beginning, like really leading out in a lot of those things where a lot of destinations are, I think you can kind of be an example to them. And there's kind of an old way of doing things. And there's still some pieces of that should be kept around. But there's a lot of new stuff and new ways of approaching not just destination marketing, but marketing in general, that I think you guys are leading out on and showing a good example. And I appreciate your time and talking about this campaign. And I'm sure there'll be lots of other stuff down the road that we may want to have you back on and talk about other cool brand and or campaigns that are coming out. What's the best way for people to follow you or your destination if they want to get in touch or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, our website is visitmeltbeach.com, and you can find us on all the social medias. We're having a lot of fun on TikTok right now, so definitely go check that out. And then you can find me on LinkedIn. It's just Stuart Butler on LinkedIn, S-T-U-A-R-T. And I look forward to hearing any questions that crop up, and be happy to come back at a later date. We have more fun things to talk about.
Great. Looking forward to it. So that's been our episode about Matari Best. I said this before, but you got to go check it out, because describing it with just the audio doesn't do it justice. You've got to see the language that the AI spit out and the images that go with it. This has been a good conversation, and I appreciate your time, Stuart. As always, we ask you to subscribe to the podcast if you're enjoying it. Maybe share it with someone you know. And of course, we appreciate reviews as well. We're still fairly new, so it helps us get the word out there and get some exposure. This has been Brands and Campaigns, and we'll see you next time.